a very nice box for that special edition of Breath of the Wild.
It reminds me of, like, the box that, like, it's like the fake promo box that goes out.
It's exactly like that.
But it's real.
But it's in there. Hooray. All right, let's do a show now. By my brother, Adjigat.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
March already, and so yeah, I was off on at GDC last week doing some fun things.
Whatever, who cares? Something else happened last week.
Yeah, I actually was furious because, like, I missed the Switch launch by a day because of that. Oh my gosh. But yeah, we're talking about the Switch and Zelda. Probably almost mostly Zelda.
Well, the two kind of go hand in hand. Let's do it this way. Let's start with our impressions of the system itself.
Sure.
We could transition that into Zelda.
So, I mean, it's funny, right? Because it still has these Nintendo-isms, right?
Oh, sure.
Or it's like
the fact that you can't, like, back up your save file.
Can't back up your save file. There's, like, it definitely seems like this was a system, like, they had to get out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, like, feature packs, right? When you start up that system, there's not, like, it's, you know, you're not, like, present up a whole ton of options of things you can do.
But that's what I kind of liked about the
system. Yeah, it kind of works
like,
out,
though. Like, well, maybe bring Netflix and Hulu. I'm like, no, just don't. Like, really, really. You've got your iPhone in your pocket with all day battery life and a network connection. Are you really going to be somewhere and be like, well, let me pull on my Switch and watch some House of Cards?
It's like, it's kind of this, like, I don't know. It's like the two sides of it. We're like, well, yes, to have Netflix and Switch because everything, or Netflix and Hulu because everything does. And it's like, well, everything already has Hulu.
Yeah, like, why do I care? Sure. I'm never going to use my Switch to watch Netflix. Let it be a
game.
You
weren't using
machine.
That Wii U Netflix app?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, the system's great, though, just because that whole, like, you know, picking up out of its dock and it's suddenly, like, in a portable system that works.
Yeah, it's instant.
It's instant.
Even waking it from sleep. You go from
sleep mode
to playing your game faster than anything
that's
else.
That's actually really cool. And I mean, yeah, like, I like to game in my bed a lot. It's just so nice to me that I play Zelda for like 8 hours, and then I'm like, time to go to bed. I only just pick it up and end up playing in bed for like 3 more hours. It's not great for my sleeping habits, but it's just like, it's like you can't resist. And I mean, it is like, there are so many kind of games that I would prefer to play. So like almost every game, except like with like Switch kind of graphical limitations, right? It's like, oh, like every JRPG I would want to play like this almost, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Yeah, and then they kind of, you know, just graphically, like, it, you know, and it's like the one complaint I have with Zelda kind of tied in a little bit is, like, the frame rate will drop to 20 frames per second, right? Like, it's not always running.
Well, and here's what I partially blame on that. Let's not forget, this was a game that was supposed to come out 2 years ago on the Wii U.
Sure.
And it got ported to Switch. I'll be more curious to see Mario Universe.
Odyssey.
Why did I say Universe?
Well, Galaxy Universe.
Yeah, I get confused. Like, Odyssey is a game built from the ground up for
sure.
the Switch.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a better indication of the system's ultimate performance.
That's a game you do kind of want to see, like, running at 60 frames per second, mm-hmm. hopefully, but, you know, we'll see. Sure.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's by no means does this game look bad.
Oh, God, no. This game looks awesome. And it is cool. Like, when you are literally just holding the little, like, screen that is the Switch, it is, you are like, huh, this is like the console.
Yeah, like, that's what I kind of like. Like, I was always worried it would feel less than when you're playing on the screen, like, I could be playing this on my 55-inch TV. And, like, I mean, sure, it's a bigger picture and everything, but I never feel like the experience is greatly degraded by being portable like that. Yeah, it's just... Okay, for a father of twins who can't always escape to the basement to play games, but, like, they're willing to let me sit on the couch and play for 45 minutes while they watch Toy Story.
There you go.
Fan-frickin-tastic.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's funny, because that was the pitch with the Wii U in a way, right? But just never really worked.
But then, well, even right away this past weekend, my wife and I had a evening trip to Pittsburgh for her company's Christmas party that they do in March. Mm. And, you know, we're in a hotel. Takes her an hour to get ready, and I'm just lying in the bed. Playing Zelda, and I'm like, this is great.
Here you
go. Same game. Goes with me.
I know.
Happy day.
Yeah, that's just so cool.
It's the goofy semantic thing. Nintendo seems so adamant that they're like, this is not a portable system. It's a home console.
Right.
It just happens to be portable. If they only have to go, like, handheld first. Just kind of embrace both sides of it a little more equally, and it's, like, the most technically amazing thing ever.
Sure. And I get it a little bit, because it's not like a 3DS where you can just, like, put it in your pocket or something, right? Like, you have to, like, have, like, the case for this thing and, like, have it, like, you know, kind of held.
I think the word handheld defines better than portable in that way.
Sure.
Again, it's all semantics. It doesn't change what the system actually is.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I just feel like when they're chasing that whole, it's a home console, that's when you're coming to the scrutiny. Well, this is Zelda at 900p and it drips to 20 frames per second. And if this were just on the Xbox and PlayStation, it'd be better. And
a little, sure.
Like,
I mean, I think they did a decent job of advertising what it is. Like,
well, I mean, the sales numbers so far seem to indicate that it's doing well. So that makes me hopeful.
Yeah, I hope. I do hope it continues to do well. So we keep getting like.
This will be my go-to indie game machine.
Like, it's great oh my gosh, for like Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight is a dream.
Shovel Knight is like, I think, the second game you should get for this thing. Especially that new Spectre of Torment campaign, which is cool. So it's like, if you don't know, like Shovel, like they add new characters to Shovel Knight, but it's not just like, oh, you're playing the game as this character now. Like, they like reworked the campaign around them. They changed the levels up a bit. Like, this one has kind of different bosses, and like they play completely differently.
I never finished the base campaign, so I want to do that first.
Yeah, he should, but yeah.
But you know, like, Sony always had, like, it's cross-buy, so you get it on your Vita, because everyone has a Vita and the PS4, and the save sync, kind of, but, like, that was sometimes always a cumbersome process, and I was just like, just pick it up.
Yeah, like anything. Like, you think back on, like, any indie game of players, like, Ori would have been incredible in this, The Witness would be cool in this.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, I can't wait for Stardew Valley to come out on this.
That's great, actually. And I bought Stardew Valley, I haven't played it yet. I was going to rebuy that so I could play it on the Switch, because that sounds great.
I've never bought it. I'm like, nah, I'll buy it on this thing. Absolutely.
Right.
But there's that game, I forget what it's called, but it kind of looks like a fantasy version of Advance Wars. Like, that's going to be incredible.
Yeah, there's just a lot of things that just make sense for
I'll probably pick it up this weekend, but, like, the new Blaster Master came out. Like, yeah, I'm getting that. Like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, indies is kind of great. And it's good that they're, like, making that push. Kind of fills up the library.
There's a great article, I think it was on Gamma Sutra. Could be wrong about that, but like, apparently Nintendo is like really embracing it too. Like, they're not only going after the indies, but the one guy said they've been treated like royalty was his quote. It's good to see they recognize that. There's one kind of discouraging thing where you see that game Rime.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's like $10 more expensive on the Switch than any other platform. It's like, oh, don't start this shit.
No, why? It's weird.
Like, I don't know if it's because like Nintendo has a higher licensing fee, so the developers are like passing the buck on to the consumer, but like, they can't let that be a trend. Let that be the thing, because that'll be bad.
So Zelda, one of the best games ever since we've been doing this podcast.
I think so.
It's just that's very probably true. It's just like one of those games, it's just, you always want to be playing it. When you're not playing it, you think about it, and when you are playing it, it's just endlessly fun.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous how they just went out and said, yeah, we're just reworking this entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they've been doing the Ocarina of Time thing for a long time, which, you know, you get Ocarina of Time was obviously a landmark game.
Yeah.
And a lot of those sequels were really good, but it was starting to feel a little, you know. Yeah, a little bit. And we liked Skyward Sword, but even, it's one that
we liked it more than most, I think.
Yeah, we did. But it's one of those things, like, when you get, especially after you play this, you're like, yeah, Skyward Sword, like, did some things that this does just way better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how, like, some of it's just, like, a continuation of Link Between Worlds, even, just sort of much less linear, less hand-holdy. I mean, like, when you start the game, you start playing the game immediately.
Yeah, there's no talking fairy, there's no boring fetch quests in the beginning where you're, like, you know, picking chickens or something. No, you just are playing the game.
You're playing the game. Like, the game immediately gives you, like these, basically the game's items, right? Like the physics kind of.
The runes.
Yeah, like, you get those immediately. Like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, I wonder how long it takes to get all of them. Like, no, immediately. It's like, here's the one. Control gravity, stop time, pull bombs, all right, you get your lands.
You're all set, kid. Get
like,
out there.
And yeah, and that, like, and that stuff is just, it's like Half-Life 2 suddenly, like in Zelda, right? Like, all these physics puzzles.
Yeah, that's why I keep thinking, like, how, like this weird Half-Life and Portal vibe from the game because of the physics.
It's physics, and because it's so puzzle-based. Like, like so much of the gameplay is the shrines, right? Which are, like, these little mini dungeons.
Which they feel like a chamber in Portal.
Right, exactly. And it's, but they're, like, and they're so important because instead of like, oh, you find like the, you know, random heart pieces and stuff, you get like, if you do four shrines, you either get to increase your stamina wheel or your heart thing. So it's like important to do these things because mm-hmm. it's not like an RPG, right? You don't like level up, but you need to get stronger because like things get more difficult. But that happens like more organically through getting more hearts, finding better gear, cooking food and stuff like all this like weird stuff, right?
So let's talk about gear and the weapon system. Because right. That's like a lot of people complain about weapon durability. No,
that's, I think
and
that's
weapons
a,
breaking.
That's a big part of the genius.
This game would not be nearly as good if that wasn't. And here's why. Not only does it mean like you start the game with a stick.
Yeah.
You know, and that. So there, you're right, you're not leveling up, but the progression sense you get from just finding and acquiring better and more durable weapons really gives you that sense of, like, I'm building up this arsenal, I'm improving in a meaningful way because I found better gear that I couldn't have found before because I didn't have the gear to get to where I needed to, and, you know, it goes like that. So that's already cool. By virtue of your gear breaking, it forces you to have to change your playstyle.
Right.
Like, usually in any game, I never take two-handed weapons. I always prefer to have a sword and shield in any kind of action RPG. Sometimes I don't have that sword, so I gotta use a great sword.
Improvise.
It's like, okay, well now I gotta be a little more careful about blocking because I can't. So I gotta move around.
It just increases the choices you have to make. Mm-hmm. Like, are you even gonna bother fighting these people because maybe you don't have enough weapons or you're not sure?
Are you gonna risk breaking your really powerful sword? Or are you gonna try to take them out with a weaker
sword? And
there's
like this thing like, oh, this weapon's weak. You may as well just throw it at them because it'll do a little extra damage, even though it's gonna break a little sooner or stuff like.
I always forget I could throw my weapons. You're right.
Yeah, right. Just like like all these weird little choices that come up because of the system.
It also means the game is not afraid that you're going to find some crazy powerful weapon early.
Right.
Because it's going to break eventually. So use it. Have some fun with it. Be overpowered.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's weird because like, you almost think you would be like, oh, like you really want to hold on to these things. It's almost like the opposite where you're just kind of going through them because the durability is real low.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, sure, whatever. We'll use this while I can. I'll maybe get something else here or there.
I've also, this game has allowed me to break my habit of like not using my consumables because I might need them later.
Mm-hmm.
In part because stuff is so plentiful, so it's not too much of a worry.
Right.
So, like, I'm using defense up potions and potions that increase my max heart
temporarily. Right. Yeah, the whole cook... Like, it's funny how, like, we've seen cooking systems before, and it's always just completely menu-driven. And I know, like, it makes it go a little slower, but I like that, like, you literally, like, are holding the items and throwing them in a pot, and they, like, they do this little dance. Like, it's just this little ways to make something that really shouldn't be that much fun. Yeah. Like, more fun all of a sudden, right?
I do wish there was a way to be like, okay, I want to do that four more times, please.
Yeah, I get it, but like again, I like kind of, I don't know.
But I like how the cooking, it's all logic-based.
There's not a recipe book.
There's not like arbitrary recipes like where you're like getting these things like, why would these go together to make tofu?
Right.
It's just, you know, you got a fish that says it's going to increase your stamina. Cook some, and you're going to get fish stamina food. Like,
right,
that,
and like maybe throw some other things in there and it'll get better. And you kind of learn pretty early on, like it's not necessarily best just like, throw a bunch of random crap in.
You get
like
disgusting food.
Dubious food. But if you like put like multiple things with different abilities, that kind of cancel each other out and just become
just
hearts.
Like a health thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And stuff like that. But like, yeah, there's like a logic to it that like it makes sense. But, and then just like the exploration, which is just so much of the game.
So here's the smartest thing. I feel like I keep saying that. They did a lot of smart things.
It's like design wise, this is so well done.
It does that thing that every open world game has done since Assassin's Creed, where you climb a tower and it reveals the map.
Sure.
And in all those games, the map's revealed and a million icons
appear. And like, it's almost like stressful.
It's like, okay. In this game, no icon appears until you physically walk there and done something. In the meantime, you literally have to get to a vantage point. It doesn't have to be the tower, but the towers do like at least fill in the map so you can see terrain. And you look.
Yeah.
Try to find, like, what do I need to do? Like, what can I see? Let's mark that shrine I can see in this and walk
and
there.
Even when it's not like obviously like a shrine, almost anything that looks like there should be something there, there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Korok seeds are great because they basically are kind of like filler, like where can we put something here that's meaningful content? And it's not just like, oh, you found this thing. You have to like solve a little puzzle, and then these seeds help you expand your inventory, especially for weapons, which is super like helpful and important. Yeah. So you want these things.
Yeah, the first time I solved a Korok seed puzzle, to keep it vague, it's on your way to a village. And I just noticed there were some blocks, and one seemed out of place. And I'm like, my OCD kicked in. I'm like, I got to put that block in the right place. And I did, and a cork popped out. And I was like, oh, it's that kind of game. Okay, we got to do this now. So it's like, you're always looking for, like, when something seems a little off, you're like, can I move this? and usually you'll get something. It's great.
And it's just because like the quest is basically go to these four places at some point. It's like, so you just have this freedom of like exploring around. And it's interesting because like the game guides you in this path. Like me, you, and Chris are doing those four dungeons in the same order, kind of accidentally, it seems, mm-hmm. pretty much.
Actually, I kind of am at a point. I've got two of the four done. Mm. I really could go to either one. It hasn't really pushed me towards one or the other. So maybe I'll go different from you just to be different.
But like in each of these like regions, they just like look different. Like there's this, you know, like there's like the typical ones. Like,
it's very. This is gonna be an odd comparison, but they handle transitions kind of similar to World of Warcraft in a way.
Yeah,
where they're very seamlessly done from like forest to desert. Like it's not jarring,
right? And there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot. Like there's this one like in the south, and it's like, you know, there's nothing like story driven you have to do in this whole area. Like you never have to go there, and it's like this kind of more Polynesian tropical area.
I haven't even been there. It's just like you guys are talking about. I'm like, what is that?
It's just like super cool. That was made me think of like Star Tropics a bit, and it's just like, and like you could just spend hours like, well, let's explore this whole place and see what we get. You'll just like discover all these like things. You'll get items that help you out and
find more shrines
and cork seeds and just. And then there are like actual like quests, like you'll talk to somebody and like some interesting things gonna happen.
Talk to everybody. That's good advice in this game.
And everybody is like a person. There's no like generic NPC, right? Mm-hmm. Which is interesting too.
Jeff Grubb said this in his review on GamesBeat, and I like it. The game constantly says yes.
Yeah.
If you think you can do something, you can probably do it.
Right.
And I love that because it just invites experimentation and exploration. There are so few games, especially open world games, where, like, okay, Eleanor is a good example.
Oh, man.
Remember Eleanor? It was a big recreation of Los Angeles. There's nothing to do in that city. Most of the missions you got in the car told your partner to drive, so it would just teleport you right to your mission. You're like, why aren't these just levels?
Yeah. It's almost like a waste of resources.
Right, exactly. But this game, it's the complete opposite of that. The world is just so packed with interesting things to find and discover. And, you know, people argue like, oh, you're not really getting anything. Like, there's no XP.
Thank God.
Just so fun to find these things. Doesn't
matter. And that's what people, like, I think there was like a Taco story that made this point. It's like we're actually just like doing these things because they're fun again, right? Like you'll see a mob with camp, you're like, I'm gonna go get there because it's fun to fight these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I was on what I thought was the southwest corner of the world map, and there was like this giant cliff, and I'm like, well, that's how they obviously barricade you. Can I climb that? And I like stocked up on stamina elixirs, and started climbing, and started getting cold. And I had to like start using cold elixirs. I like got up to the top of this thing. I'm like, am I supposed to be here? Like, I'm, like, finding weird, like, random treasure chests in the snow.
Right.
And I'm, like, I'm, is this gonna be, like, where DLC goes? Like, where am I? This is, like, it feels done, but not. And then I started finding Korok seeds in a shrine, and I'm, like, this is supposed to be here. This is incredible. Like, it's just so cool.
Right, just, like, all these out-of-the-way places. And, yeah, you do kind of feel like you're, like, an explorer in, like, uncharted areas.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, the whole climbing thing is just... Like, it seems like that should be boring, but it's not. Because there's, like, this thrill of it, of, like, am I going to make that? You kind of, like, pathfind, you, like, look, like, okay, there's, like, a little ledge there. Maybe I can stand on it
and regenerate my
and, like,
stamina.
Oh, maybe I can make some food and, like, just, like, get my stamina up. And, yeah, like, some of the most exciting moments are, like, when I'm at the red, like, I'm almost
And you know you could pause and just, like, drink a stamina elixir and be like, no, I don't need to.
I was like, I'm going to make It's like, oh, my God. And this, like, this.
And how much do you hate the rain?
Oh my God.
I mean, I like the rain, but it's such a great gameplay you can see, because these games always have weather cycles, and it doesn't matter.
Right, yeah.
But in this game, when it's raining and all the surfaces are wet and you're slipping, I was trying to get to one of the towers. I was, like, halfway through the area around it, which was packed with high-powered enemies. It starts raining, and I'm like, oh, no. Like, I'm on a rock wall. Like, what am I supposed to do? And I had to, like, very carefully, like you said, kind of find this right way I could take so I'd have enough stamina, because I kept slipping. And when I got to the top, it was like, yes, I did it! Like, it was so accomplished feeling.
So yeah, it's like the game is just, like, incredible. But even, like, this world, right? It's just, like, the Zora place you go to, that's probably been my favorite place so far. Mm-hmm. And, like, these little, like, the characters are just endearing. In a way that maybe Zelda has been good at, but it does, you know, that's still, like, still working just as well here.
Well, it's great, too, because I don't want to give too much of the story away, because I think this is actually probably the best story in a Zelda game so far that I've seen. I like how there's kind of two layers of backstory.
But yeah,
well, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because
it feels like you're playing a sequel to a different Zelda game that you never played.
Right? Yeah, you're right. Like, you're absolutely right.
It's like he already did these other things, and it's right. Like he already would have got like the.
But they almost could make that game.
Right. Interesting.
Like, that, like if they're gonna keep doing DLC, like that could be DLC, like a weird prequel.
It's a weird thing.
DLC thing, like yeah. Oh man, that's so cool. You're right. I like that idea. It's the sequel to a game we never played.
Right. It's like exactly kind
of. Oh man, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this game is just like. It's weird how this might be the best Zelda game.
I'm halfway through it and I'm ready to put it on that pedestal.
It's like that. I really love Wind Waker, but like this game is just so. Cool, and it's like once I quote unquote beat it, I still know I'm like, gonna keep playing.
Yeah, when have you ever done that after you beat a Zelda game? Usually by the time I get to the end of a Zelda game, it's like, okay, come on, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, this has been going on for a bit, and I've probably already played this more than any other Zelda games. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it has like exact hours played, but I feel like every time I play this game, it's like for like 5 to 8 hour stretches.
Yeah, you just get lost
it's
in
like,
it.
It's like you really do have to be like, okay, I need to stop. It's not like I'm bored, I'm gonna do something else. I'm like, I need to stop now.
And again, it's almost hard to imagine this wasn't developed for the Switch at first because it lends itself to that like crazy long play session. But at the same time, if you've got your Switch and you're out and about and you're like, I got a half hour,
man,
like I'm gonna go do a shrine, I'm gonna go climb this mountain.
It's almost alarming that this game is almost wasted on the Wii U. Smallest stuff.
Right? Isn't that funny? We talked about that on Too Old for This last night very quickly. Like, imagine if this did come out in 2015 for the Wii U like it was supposed to. What?
Right.
Like, one of the best games of all time would be on, like, a console that no one owns and would be the only reason for people to buy that console. Like, so here's a question for you. You don't own Switch or Wii U, but everyone's like, Zelda's the best game ever. Like,
you get a Switch. You're not gonna invest in a Wii U.
Like, who's that guy who like tries to find a Wii U for $50 somewhere?
Right.
Like, I guess does it that way, right. Maybe.
It is a big help to the system that this is the launch game. I mean, this is like the best launch game for system since Mario 64.
Right, and so to circle back on talking about the Switch, you know, that's been the criticism, the launch lineup. And we went through these, but like name a launch game from the PS2 that anyone gives a shit about.
No, it's like that one important game. It's so,
there's
like
plenty.
Because I've been playing the Switch nonstop.
Yeah. I haven't turned on my Xbox or PlayStation 4 since this thing came out.
Right.
And I was playing Horizon, which, to talk about very quickly, fantastic game.
Yeah.
I just got to the point where the world opens up. Mm. And then this, I'm playing Zelda. I'm like, eh. Later.
It is almost unfortunate those games are just similar enough.
Yeah.
In a way.
I liked the comparison I heard. It's like Uncharted and Tomb Raider.
Little.
Like, there's enough like similar language there that you could like be like, yeah, they're like the same thing, but they're really not.
Yeah. But there's things. But you know, Horizon is super good too. But this is transcendently good. This is like importantly good.
It's so good.
It's great that like Nintendo makes open world game and they immediately like everybody else has something to learn from them when they do it.
Again, everyone's, you know, a lot of comparisons to Skyrim, Far Cry, Assassin's Creed. Have you seen any glitches in this game?
Not really.
Like a character's face explodes or fall through.
I didn't even think about that, because
right?
That always happens.
There's no bugs.
How did that happen?
Why did Nintendo figure that out?
Nintendo knows how to make, like, good shit sometimes.
Right?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's not a buggy game. It's not like anything less than like what Skyrim or Far Cry would be as far as scale and scope.
No, it's huge.
It's physics-based gameplay, which has the potential to break all kinds of things.
Yeah, but no. Well, just all works.
Totally works. Totally fine. No issues.
I love how elemental-based it is, too. Like, mm-hmm. There's, like, electricity-based dungeons. It's all about conducting, like, the electricity.
The thunderstorms in the game are so epic.
Oh, my God. They are neat.
Terrifying.
Right. You can do weird things. Like, you can, like, throw, like, a metal object, like a sword, like, with the, like, like at a group of enemies, and it'll track a lightning bolt and strike them all.
Really? Yeah. See, that's what I mean.
It's incredible. It's like it
there's
works.
So many things, like, you wouldn't even think to try, because they're so logical. But, like, early in the game, when you kind of hit cold for the first time, I'd already found some chili peppers, and I was like, okay, well, there's a cooking fire. I'm going to cook these chili peppers and eat them, and I'll be fine. And that's what I did. But some people who I've talked to didn't find the chili peppers first, and I didn't even think of it. If you just light a torch, that's enough warmth.
See,
I'm like, oh man.
Because
like,
you said that, I had a fire sword. I'm like, if I just equip this, would increase my heat? And it did. I was fine. I could walk through just because I had a fire sword equipped.
Oh, my
like, so
God.
Cool. I was like, oh, okay, I'm better now.
Oh,
it's like weird random things.
That's so crazy. I love it.
Right. It's just, yeah, this game is just so freaking fantastic.
Yeah, like there's a quest I had to do that involved me manipulating fire. and it started to rain. I'm like, well, shit, I can't do this in the rain. And just, like, this cool thing. Like, there was, like, one of those little skulls where a bunch of moblins are hanging out.
Yeah.
So, like, went in, cleared it out, threw down some firewood, pulled out my fire rod, lit it, and then, like, you can, like, wait by the fire. And yeah. I'm like, I'll just wait out the storm in the safety of this cave I just cleared out.
They just really kill it, man. This is just such it's a fantastic incredible. Game.
It's remarkable. And isn't this so intense? It's like that scene in Dumb and Dumber. Just when you think they can't fuck up anymore, they go and release a game like this.
Right. It's like, it's where that Nintendo has released the least, like, hand-holdy open-world game of all time, right? Like, these are the people who have, like almost ruined some franchises. Like the Mario and Luigi franchise, which I used to love, is so tied down in hand-holdiness. Yeah, and like Paper Mario.
It's, like, not even...
I can't even play them anymore. Yeah. And now it's, like, this happens. Like, oh.
I hope...
Is this a paradigm?
I hope that they realize... I think this is the beginning of them realizing that, like, with the kind of almost, you could say, accidental success of the Wii, like, oh, we gotta cater to the casuals, make sure that they know what they're doing at all times. Hopefully this teaches them, no, take care of your core, we'll take care of the rest.
I think they are going to be a little core-focused now, which is fun. I mean,
with Mario coming and Splatoon being a focus, like, these are core games, and I'm very happy
And it is, like,
that.
Interesting, like... Like, you wonder kind of, like, what's, like, the next stuff? Like, first, like, way further now, what does, like, the next Zelda look like after this, right? Like, what do they do?
7 years from now.
Right. But, like, right, but it's, like, how do you follow this up, right? Like, I wonder if they're going to almost do, like, a Majora's Mask, or you just make a real weird one or something.
Maybe.
But, man, and then, like, you know, there's, like, all these other franchises, like... Because we already have Zelda Mario... So there's got to be some other things out there. Like, there's got to be a Metroid something happening.
Right? Like, a Metroid using this kind of similar paradigm shift could
right.
be
Maybe just not necessarily, like, this, yeah, but, like, just, like, you know, you just think about stuff like that. Like, they can't have the Wii U issue where, like, 1 year a Star Fox game is, like, your premier, like, title, right?
Yeah.
You can't have that happen again, but, man.
That you didn't even fully develop yourself.
Right. So, but yeah.
So good.
Zelda's just
it.
Incredible.
Isn't there just a weird novelty? This is the first... modern 3D Zelda game that you're playing with just a standard controller.
Yeah, right?
You could argue for GameCube controller,
like the first...
that was close.
It's weird that's even the first one made for HD.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, God.
We had those ports, but yeah, isn't that strange?
Right.
It's just, oh, it's so good. Go back to the Switch hardware real quick. What's your impression of the Joy-Con controllers? A lot of people seem to have some gripes about size and comfort, but honestly,
fine with me.
Yeah, I've had no issue.
When I'm holding that thing like a tablet, it feels great to me.
I've done a few times where I put the game on a table and detach.
I haven't really done that. I put them in like that weird little holder just as like a curiosity once, and it felt fine.
I never even tried it yet. Actually,
it felt fine, but I mean,
but
no, I like them.
When you're in detach mode, using the right Joy-Con to aim like your bow and arrow.
Oh, feels really? Yeah, that,
really
that's
good.
That's probably cool.
Feels real good.
I do like that we still kind of have that tilting for the help with the aiming, like that aim assist, because that, remember Splatoon was the game that sold me on that?
Yeah, well, and even Uncharted on Vita did that too.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah, I kind of like that stuff.
Yeah, I'm very glad that's all there. It's great for like lining up headshots, which actually matter in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, right? It's just all these, fights are just like, even just fights are just, like, again, there's like so much to rave about, but like, fights aren't just like, go whack it with your sword. Like, there's
right.
all these things
there's,
that
there's,
can be happening.
There's some intricacy to it. I mean, you could brute force it if you want to.
We didn't even like talk about the quote-unquote dungeons. There's some, the game's incredible. We need to move on, but it's so
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games too, it's like, obviously everybody's not gonna like a game, but like, when I hear you don't like this game, like, that's fine, but I question your judgment.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know if I care much about your opinions.
Real quick, too, something I wanted to challenge. You mentioned that Jason Wilson at GamesBeat had talked about how he felt this game was more of a throwback to our generation of gamers with, like, the NES Zelda game and, like, would kids, like, take to it. I would counter that to say this is the Zelda for their generation.
Yeah.
Kids who grew up on Minecraft?
Yeah, I think so.
This is the logical step from Minecraft, but with Zelda applied, really.
And, yeah, that is kind of the thing, right? Because... this is, like, the other two milestones Zelda games are Zelda 1 and Ocarina of Time, and it still felt like those were most, like, everybody you knew who was playing those were kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now we're in this era where all those people grow up and are still playing these games. Like nope, nobody's parents were playing Ocarina of Time, really, you know,
right?
Which is kind of strange. So that's kind of the thing here, is, you know, are, like, a new generation of Zelda fans happening with this? Like, you would think so, right?
I mean, like I said, I think the leap from Minecraft to this is a very logical one, actually,
yeah, right.
when you really kind of break it down.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. So,
I don't want to talk about anything else.
Yeah, I know. Well,
like I said, Horizon. I like Horizon.
Horizon's fine.
I mean, I sound down on it. It's very, very
good. Yeah, it's like
gorgeous game.
It looks really cool.
Love the way it starts. I love it when games start, like, they just start. Yeah. There's not a menu or anything. Love that.
It's a much more story-focused game, and mm-hmm. it actually does have a pretty cool story, so it works for that. And, like, the fighting the robots and stuff is cool. It does kind of a Witcher thing I like, where there are a lot of side missions, but they're all, like, story ones.
Yeah, they're fleshed out.
It's
enough.
Not the Far Cry problem, or the Assassin's Creed problem, even, where, like, so many of those things, there's, like, it's just the map tells you to go here and do a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Where it's like, there's no, like, context for it. So, yeah. I saw some cool things at GDC. Probably one of my favorite was Sonic Mania.
They just released a new gameplay video. Yeah. You probably saw it.
That's the level I play. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Which I'm going to finally write
about
today.
There was a moment in what they put out. I don't know if you did this when you were playing. He got the fire shield, like, from Sonic 3. Mm-hmm. You know, like those little rotating things with like thorns on it.
Yeah.
They have to kind of...
Yeah,
he got the fire shield and then ran back across and it burned and it let him get to like a secret area. And I was like,
oh. It's like Zelda.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that
Sonic
game,
of the Wild.
That game is hotness, man. That game is gonna be. And I had so much fun with the demo because the guy giving it to me was the guy who runs that Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter account.
That's right.
I got real excited like he was a celebrity.
Did you? You probably didn't. I want to know, like, it seems like this game more than anything is influenced by Sonic CD and its animations. I want
to
know.
A little bit. I actually tried to do a Sonic.
About that more.
I wanted to do a Sonic Peel-Out, but there's a ton of references in
the game.
Oh, the Peel-Out's
not in the game?
No. There's a reference to Sega Sonic the Arcade game in there, I saw.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, whoa. I was like, where's Mighty the Armadillo at? And that Squirrel.
Yeah, the Squirrel.
Whatever his name was. Yeah. I remember Mighty because he's also in
Knuckles
Chaotix, right? But that game is just—it's super fun. It looks so good. Like they add all these extra frames and animations to like
that
classic style.
60 frames per second,
right?
And
it looks—it
looks
just
so smooth.
It looks so good. It's super fun. I cannot wait for that. And that's
again,
Switch.
Switch.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yes, please.
No other system for that thing.
Oh my God! Incredible. Yeah. I already have my collector's edition pre-order on Amazon. I got to cancel my Xbox pre-order.
So and you know I saw that Shadow of War gameplay reveal that everybody's seen now.
I thought it was going to be a trailer, and it's like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
it's like 6 minutes. You should watch it. It gives you a very good idea what they're trying to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that would be cool. That was a good game that really needed a sequel. And, yeah, that's about it, really. I want to play more Zelda. I just want to work. I can't wait for the weekend. I'm going to play a lot of Zelda.
Jessica's out of town, so it's going to be me and the girls. And the great thing is, while she's gone, the girls will totally be happy to, like, watch Toy Story.
Oh, there you go.
Don't tell my wife I said that.
Yeah. All right.
She has listened to the show.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Make sure to go to the iTunes Music Store, Google Play Store. Leave us a review if you can. We always appreciate that. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.